بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا القرآن وجعله هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. الحمد لله الذي من على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا وشرفنا بالعلماء الربانيين. الحمد لله الذي أنعم علينا بالوالدين المسلمين. الحمد لله الذي أعزنا بأصح الكتب بعد كتاب الله الجامع المسند الصحيح المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه. صلوات الله وسلامه على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، باب قول الله ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس العدل بالرومية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. أجاز لنا الشيخ محمد سعيد متارى عن الشيخ محمد أيوب الأعظمي عن الشيخ أنور شاه الكشميري حا. وحدثنا الشيخ موسى محمد بتيل عن الشيخ أحمد إبراهيم بيمات حا. وحدثنا الشيخ إبراهيم سلجي عن الشيخ نصير أحمد خان كلاهما عن الشيخ حسين أحمد المدني هو والشيخ أنور شاه الكشميري عن الشيخ محمود حسن الدوبني عن الشيخين الشيخ رشيد أحمد الجنقوهي والشيخ محمد قاسم النانوتوي عن الشيخ عبد الغني الدهلوي عن الشيخ محمد إسحاق الدهلوي عن الشيخ عبد العزيز الدهلوي عن الشيخ ولي الله الدهلوي عن الشيخ أبي الطاهر محمد بن إبراهيم الكردي عن الشيخ إبراهيم بن الحسن الكردي الكوراني عن الشيخ أحمد بن محمد البدري القشاشي عن الشيخ أحمد بن عبد القدوس الشناوي عن الشيخ محمد بن أحمد الرملي عن الشيخ زكريا بن محمد الأنصاري عن الحافظ أحمد بن علي بن حجر العسقلاني عن الشيخ زين الدين إبراهيم بن أحمد التنوخي عن الشيخ أبي العباس أحمد بن أبي طالب الحجار عن الشيخ الحسين بن المبارك الزبيدي عن الشيخ عبد الأول عيسى بن شعيب السجزي عن الشيخ أبي الحسن عبد الرحمن بن مظفر البوشنجي عن الشيخ أبي محمد عبد الله بن أحمد بن حموية السرخسي عن الشيخ أبي عبد الله محمد بن يوسف الفربري عن الإمام الهمام الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة بن بردزبة البخاري مولاهم الجعفي رحمة الله عليهم أجمعين قال: حدثنا أحمد بن إشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم أنه قال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن، خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه بارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وأنزلنا إليك الذكر لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم ولعلهم يتفكرون. صدق الله العظيم. A mixed gathering, mostly for those who are not versed in Arabic, and there are those that have learnt Arabic but they haven't learnt the Hadith Kitabs. If they have learnt, they haven't learnt Kitabs that are run in the Madrasa. So to address such an audience, we have to be a little bit careful, because it must be beneficial for the students as well as the public that have gathered here on this occasion. So we may just highlight some of the important discussions that are generally discussed at the end of the kitab, something about hadith or something about Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi. So some of the things that are discussed at this time is, we say generally that the kitab has been commenced with the kitab al-iman and it ends up with kitab al-tawheed. And in the terminology of Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi, when he speaks about Iman or Tawheed, he refers to one and the same thing. Whether it is Deen, whether it is Tawheed, whether it is Iman, he refers to the same thing. The Unwan may be different, but he is referring to one and the same thing. Now the question that comes up here is that when he commenced the Kitab with Iman, then why did he bring about Bad'ul Wahi right at the very beginning? Because the first thing in a person's life is his Iman. Without the Iman, then the structure of Deen cannot stand. The structure can only stand if there is Iman. And if there is no Iman, then how can the structure ever stand? So the obvious reason is that all these things, whether it's Iman, whether it is Amal, all connect to Wahi. وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ. So the Wahi showed you the details of Iman and the details of A'mal. So because all your Iman, the important details of Iman and the articles of faith all link up to Wahi, so therefore, it was just logical that he starts the kitab with wahi. Thereafter, the second thing that we need to understand is he commences with niyat. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. The Shafis will say that yasihul a'malu bin niyat. And we will say yusabu bin niyat. So both are saying different things, but overall it is one view against the other view, one opinion against the other opinion, and both are respected. So he starts off with niyat and he ends up with waznul amal. So how do you link up niyat with waznul amal? Imam Bukhari, as though he's alluding that you want the weight on the mizan, then get the niyat right. The better the niyat, the stronger the ikhlas, then the greater the wazan, the greater the weight. And if the niyat is not right, then correct it now. At least correct it at the time that you're commencing the kitab, so that this whole exercise may be a profitable exercise. That's the second thing that we understand. Then there is a lot of discussion on qist and qistas. It's about four discussions that come here generally. We're just highlighting these discussions, not going into the details. So the word qist translates as justice, as adl. Then Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi speaks about muqsitin, and when he speaks about masdarul muqsit, so muqsit, the masdar of muqsit in essence is iqsat. So why does he say qist when the masdar of muqsit is iqsat? Because obviously this is the masdar of the masdar. If you drop out the mazid fi and keep just the mujarrad, then this will amount to qist. And if even if you say that the masdar of qist or the masdar of muqsit is qast, then too it can have the right meaning, because iqsat it comes under the wazan of if'al, the same wazan. And if you see, look at the khasiyat, the khasiyat of this word, one of the khasiyat is salb ma'khal. So when the khasiyat is salb ma'khal, so that means qasd refers to zulm, right? And then iqsat will contain the meaning of zulm. But now, when you're looking at it from this perspective, that one of the khasiyat of if'al is salb ma'khaz, that means make dafa of the zulm, and you will get adl. So when you have made dafa of the zulm, you have got adl, obviously. Then the third thing that is very much discussed at this point, وَيُقَالُوا الْقِسْتُ مَسْتَرُ الْمُقْسِدُ, that is this a word coming from the Roman language, or is it originally Arabic? So there's three popular opinions. One opinion is that it is an Arabic language. It is an Arabic word. And the second opinion, that it's coming from the Roman language. The third opinion is that this tawarud, this simultaneous usage, and Imam Shafi Rahmatullah says that the Arabic language is so vast, that only the mind of a Nabi can comprehend the vastness of the language. So, as though he is implying that this word iqsat is, or qist, is originally an Arabic language, Arabic word. All right. Then again, we talk about the first hadith in this kitab and the last hadith, right? The first hadith, we see the name of Humaydi comes in, and the last hadith, we see the name of Ahmad ibn Ishkab or Ashkab, both ways they are spelled. So both have the madda of hamd. Although Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is impressing upon us that have your niyat at a praiseworthy level. Have it with ikhlas, then that commencement of the kitab would be with the praise of Allah Ta'ala, not praising yourself, rather praising Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and then let this continue right to the very end. Right. Some other points that are related to Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi may have been about 10 years of age, and he had a shauk and a desire to attend the dars of hadith. In his day, there was a muhaddis, Dakhili, great ulama used to throng to his lessons, And Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah is still young, 10 years perhaps attending a maktab. But he would see that Muhaddis Dakhili, and he is addressing such a huge crowd. So he would sit on one side and attend the dars. And carried on, continued for some time, until one day Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi objected. So Muhaddis Dakhili looked towards him, said, "Yeah, child, what is it?" Said, "You have just mentioned Abu Zubayr, and Abu Zubayr's Sima and Liqa is not Thabit from Ibrahim." Right? So he said, "And then what's the right thing?" He said, "No, it's not Abu Zubayr, it is Zubayr ibn Adi. His Liqa is Thabit with Ibrahim." And Muhaddis Dakhili was quite amazed at this, a small young child, and he pulled out a mistake, and a very, very fine mistake. Abu Zubayr and Zubayr, normally you can't just pick up the mistake straight away, but he picked up the mistake very well. So he went and checked up in his manuscript, in the original text, and he found that what this boy was saying was right. From that day, Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi was held in esteem in the dars of Muhaddis Dakhili Rahmatullah Ali. But now the lesson that we learn from this, one is reading it as a story, but there is a greater lesson that we need to learn from this. The lesson that we learn is that even if it's a child that is correcting you, you cannot just brush it aside saying that he's a child, so he's not in a position to correct me. What he is? Kalkalonda, mujhe sikha rahe, a small child, and is he teaching me? You need to look in the merits of the case. If the case is right, then I need to embrace the mistake with open arms. I can't brush it aside saying it's a small child, so what? The second thing is this, that the tabiat, the temperament of the people in that zamana was that everybody felt that we should be preserving the deen. So we've got two responsibilities. One responsibility is to preserve, and the other responsibility is to pass on, to propagate. So that's the duty of every Muslim. Hatta takuna kalimatullahi hiya al-ulya, until the law and the system of Allah Ta'ala prevails, then we need to do and be continuous in this effort. Because if we didn't preserve it rightly, then can we pass it rightly? You can only pass the right if you preserved it right. So here, every person felt and deemed it his duty that I need to see and need to ensure that this is preserved correctly so that I can pass on the right message. And even a child, he was so touched by the zamana, the environment, and the people around, that he also deemed it his responsibility to see to it that the deen is preserved in the correct form. As Muatani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was in the masjid, and it happened that Mulana needed some change. For our understanding, like you want a 100 rand note, and you want 10 rand notes. Right? So he asked one person, that I got 100 rand, and I want 10 rand notes. So he's doing the dealing in the masjid, giving away 100 rand in exchange of 10 rand notes. One student came up and asked, I just want to know our masala, that is this a transaction, is it a dealing? So Mora was amazed for that moment. He said, yes, definitely it's a dealing, it's a transaction. And being a transaction is not supposed to be conducted in the masjid. But I'm impressed with you for two reasons. One is you brought it to my attention, and number two, you brought it to my attention with respect, in a respectful manner. I, being your elder in age, etc., so you did correct me, but you corrected me with respect. So this was the mindset of people across the board in the zamana, that it's our deen, and every person feels that he belongs to the house of Islam, when he belongs to the house of Islam, and if there's anything not in place, I need to put it in place. So that's the mindset that was set in that zamana, and Allah Ta'ala make it such that this mindset continues, that when we see a mistake, and we try and improve it, not leave it and just ignore it, rather bring it in place again. See how we can do it. There's different ways we can approach it, but we need to have the understanding that this is also our responsibility to put it in place. In some things, we do apply ourselves. If the imam, or even the imam of the haram, and he read 2 rakats of namaz in place of 3 rakats, then the smallest child will correct him. Right? Or if a person is performing namaz in the wrong direction, no matter how great that person may be, but we'll all see the need to bring it to his attention that this is wrong, and it has to be done in this manner. One, 2 lessons that I remember from this, or I extract from this, around the 1990s, internationally a law was being forced, and the law was about freedom of speech. Right. Now, because that is a law now, it's becoming international, so people, opportunists, they exploited the situation, and they felt, well then, it's not a problem if we pass any type of defamatory statements and phrases, even if it is against a Nabi. So now obviously they are going to be targeting Islam. They may say it in a wider context, but who is on the receiving end? It is Islam on the receiving end, because they know that the greatest resistance they will receive is from the Muslims. So now once this law has been passed, then they cannot object. But around that time, there was a senior counsel, advocate, or judge, the judge, and he had to be presiding on this case. So he stood his ground, and he says, no, I am going to defend the integrity of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This law mustn't be passed. And people at his level, they're all against him, that you know what can be the consequence. You can lose your position, your status, you can be stripped off your status and your position. You are so secure now, and you're doing so well now, and now just for this thing like this, and you're losing your status, your position, your recognition. He said, come what may, I lose anything and everything, but I'll stand for this. And now, just try and weigh the situation here. On one side is his profession, the wealth that comes with it, the recognition. He used to say that I sat in parliament buildings, parliament meetings, with government, with heads, with ministers, prime ministers. I sat with these people here. But that 1-2 days that I sat in the company of the Tabligh Jamaat, the happiness and the sukoon that I found nowhere. This was back in the late 80s or the 90s. I found that happiness, that sukoon, I never find anywhere in the world. And I'm going to stand to defend this. And true to his word, he defended and he won the case. So the government had to pass a law that defamation against any religious person, will not be tolerated, any Anbiya, etc., any religion won't be accepted. Now, the lesson that I learned from this is that look at this person. Outwardly, he seems to be a worldly class, secular educated. But the iman in his heart was right. When the iman was right in his heart, then he used his knowledge, the capacity what capacity he had, the ability that he had, he used it for the defense of Islam. So, no matter what capacity, what standing, what status we are in, our concern, greater concern is, in the my capacity, my status, how can I defend Islam? How can I protect Islam? Because Islam is not just an entity that belongs to me, it belongs to all of us. When it belongs to all of us, then how can we put our shoulders to the wheel and protect the integrity, the respect of Islam. How can he do it? So, now look at this incident and compare it against another incident. Just now, the Qari Sahib just recited, and one of the Ruwat was Ishaq Dahlavi Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib's grandson, right? So, it's his zamana, it's his age, his time, and now this is approximately 200 years ago, 2 centuries ago. So, it's a time that the English is flooding the whole India with missionaries. And the ulama that came from this school of thought, Shah Waliullah Sahib, ending with the Deobandi ulama ikram, they felt the bounden duty to come to the defense of Islam. Their life goes, their wealth goes, whatever goes. At that time, approximately 50,000 ulama ikram were killed just for the defense of Islam. But they stood their ground. They never shirked, they never wavered. Now, it's his time, 2 centuries ago. Allah Ta'ala bless us with that type of iman. So, they are flooding the whole India with this type of people. With priests, and priests that are eloquent, flashy speakers, impressive speakers. So, these are the type of people that are being flooded into India. And then because they are flashy, eloquent speakers, so, the public, the mass becomes overawed, becomes overwhelmed. Now, he came into Delhi, and ulama, they encouraged him to challenge Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. But the motive was wrong. The motive was that he must challenge Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Shah Ishaq Sahib had a stutter in his speech. He wasn't so eloquent. And this person is eloquent. And you're eloquent, you can just smash the person very easily. Now they instigated him to challenge Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. In their minds, it was that this man will be humiliated. He is our opposition, we can't see eye to eye with him, but he must be humiliated. So they instigated him that you must call on, you must challenge Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. In the meanwhile, Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah's students got to know that this is what's going on. So, they said, Ustad, we will challenge him, you arrest, we will do it. Shah Sahib objected and said, no, the man has challenged me, and it's not right for me not to receive the challenge, I must go. Anyway, he went up. Shah Sahib Rahmatullah addressed the crowd there, and alhamdulillah, it was a success. Some people had accepted Islam. And Shah Sahib had presented himself on that occasion so profoundly that the priest that came to challenge, he was dumbfounded, he was shocked, couldn't say a word. But at the end of that whole discussion and the debate, Shah Sahib addressed those ulama ikram who instigated this priest, English speech, the speech. Says, all right, if it was that I lost the debate, the situation now that I lost the debate, then it would have been a humiliation to my reputation, right? I would have been humbled. But Islam to tumhara bhi tha. You also Muslims. What happened to your Islam? You know, it's not going to only be a humiliation to me. It will be a humiliation and disgrace to Islam. But did you ever consider this? That it's going to be a humiliation to Islam. Do you ever consider this? So, in our personal differences, then what should be our outlook? How do we look at situations? What do we do? And how do we look at situations? That's the first thing. The second thing, again, look at Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah, some of the lessons that we pick up from Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah, that his whole mission has started after he has seen a dream. He was warding off flies from the Mubarak body of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? And he went and reported the dream to his Ustad Ishaq ibn Rahibi Rahmatullah Alayhi. So his Ustad interpreted the dream, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will bless you, that you separate the hadith that are unauthentic, mawzu, etc. You will separate it from those hadith that are authentic and sahih. And it wasn't very long thereafter that the same Ustad, he advised that, you know, my heart's desire is someone must do a mukhtasar, short treatise, covering all the aspects of deen, but they must be authentic and very reliable. Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah says, that was the point where I got driven, I got spirited, I got motivated, that was the point. But we'll talk about it as a story, but what are the lessons to be taken from this? Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah saw the dream, he didn't keep it to himself, he related it to his ustad, his senior. The person that he felt that was most reliable, most senior in deen at that time, he reported the dream to him. That ustad, and he is the most senior in deen, in taqwa, in righteousness, and in hadith, he is the most senior, then I must report it to him. And perhaps Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah took the cue from Yaqub Azab Yusuf alayhi salam, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. He is relating the dream to his father. So his father was the most reliable person in deen at that time, so therefore he reported dream. So our khidmat, our efforts in deen, then whatever we are doing, our spiritual conditions, our khidmat that we are active in, then our duty is then to report it to our seniors, who we feel that are most reliable, most authentic, most righteous, and therefore the levels of taqwa. Then we don't keep it to ourselves. Our weak, our conditions showing some type of weakness or showing some type of strength, then we report it to our elders. Right. Yusuf Ali Islam reported it to his elder. Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatai reported it to his elder, Ishaq ibn Rahiway Rahimahullah. Right. And then after that, it's not just about reporting. Then his ustad and his sheikh is giving him advice that I advise you that you prepare a kitab, mukhtasar, small, short treatise with all the sahih authentic hadith. So, do you understand what happens here? Yaqub alayhi salam also advised, La taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. And here, Ishaq ibn Rahiway is giving him advice that you see, this is what I would like. I say, I was motivated from that point. Thereafter, 16 years of his life, he dedicated in preparing this kitab. And then kitab, or the tarajim, he prepared in the Rawza Mubarak, between the mimbar and the Riyazul Jannah, or between the mimbar and the Rawza, or somewhere near the Hajar Aswad. These were the two places that he had prepared the kitab. So this is the third lesson that we learn, that as he prepared the kitab, then what was the level of adab in him? For every hadith that he's writing down, or every tarjama that he's writing, then he's taking ghusl, performing two rakats of namaz, making istikhara, and thereafter he's noting down, recording thereafter. Had he not followed this procedure, I ask you, would it have been a sin if he had not followed this procedure? It wouldn't have been a sin. It wasn't an emphasized sunnah, it wouldn't have been against the sunnah, but that additional adab, a lot of things go together, a lot of things contribute towards the success and the acceptance of a person. So the adab that he had shown, one is to his mashayikh, to his ulama, great people, and one is to the hadith itself, what adab he showed. So there are a lot of factors that contribute towards the excellence and the acceptance of a person. Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah, he passed away 256, right? Lived around 62 years, right? But it's approximately 1,000 years that have passed, 1,200 years that have passed, and the kitab is still running strong. So there must have been something in his personal life, the level of reliability, taqwa, righteousness, adab that he had shown, and on account of that adab, the respect that he had shown, Allah Ta'ala granted him that level of acceptance. It's not just the excellence in the field, the excellence plus the taqwa combined together brings about that acceptance, that then man has done his work at a young age, 62, and is gone, but the kitab is carrying on for over 1,000 years. What happens? Now this aspect of adab This is something that we need to reflect. Do we have this element of adab in our lives? How do we conduct ourselves? In our speech, in our ways, in our mannerisms, how do we? See, in two places of the Quran, maybe more, but I know of two places where Allah Ta'ala emphasizes the aspect of adab. When he talks about the masjid, أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ, that this is the frame of mind that we have to have as we are coming to the masjid. Frame of mind, مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. The time that you made your wuzu and you are on your way to the masjid, then what should be the frame of mind? Is it now we're just going for a social event, just to meet up with friends, just to know, catch up with the latest, what's going on? Or is it that we have the frame of the mind, ke main khuda ke darbar mein pahunch raha hoon, I'm going into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know what mera anjaam kya hoga. So the frame of mind that has to be prepared from the home. Now you're coming to the masjid, then you're coming, you are conforming, you are consistent with this ayat, مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. So the level of respect, that will decide on the acceptance, on the goodness, and on the greatness of what you are doing, right? So this is one place in the Quran. Again, because we're talking of wahi, right? Hadith is the wahi. We're talking of wahi, then what is the guidance, the directive of the Quran Sharif with regards to wahi? So Musa alayhi salam and the first encounter to hadith. So Allah Ta'ala says, نُودِيَ يَا مُوسَى فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي أَنَ رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ. That was the first command that he received, remove your shoes. I ask you, would it have been wrong for him to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having his shoes put on? But what was the reason? And why does Allah ta'ala make a mention of it in the Quran Sharif? نُودِيَ إِنِّي أَنَ رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. You are on holy ground. Now that you are in holy ground, then this is how you are supposed to be behaving. So, the one that is learning deen, then what should be the frame of mind that I am living in an environment of قال الله, قال الرسول, what level of respect I am supposed to be showing. Not only in our behavior, but in our speech as well, in every word that we are uttering, and what is the level of behavior that is required from us. Azmaul Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, someone heard a rumor that he is migrating to Medina Munawwara. So Mawlana says that when you hear this type of things, then zehn par bari mashaqqat hoti hai. To give an answer at that time is quite difficult. Because you just say blankly, bluntly no, then you have disregarded the haram and the status of the haram. And you say yes, then it's a lie. I've got no intention, it's just a rumor. So now, see, zehn ke upar taab laga karke phir jawab dete hai. Give an answer, what he says, khuda kare ke ye baat sachi ho. But how he manipulated the word, khuda kare ke ye baat sachi ho. The respect is there, and together with that, he didn't speak a lie. Right? The third aspect, I haven't come across any khatam where they spoke about it. If it is the right thing, may Allah Ta'ala support me. And if I'm incorrect, then may Allah Ta'ala correct me. But in this last chapter, Imam Bukhari has brought, he speaks about وَنَدَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, right? So there again, there's a ilmi bahas, is some word muqaddar mahzoof, ذَاتُ الْقِسْطِ, وَنَدَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ ذَاتُ الْقِسْطِ, or لِأَجْلِ الْقِسْطِ, right? So there's a, or لِأَجْلِ حِسَابِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So there's a whole discussion that goes on there. But irrespective of the academic discussion, the important thing is, what is being spoken about here? And what is being brought around right at the end is bringing about a verse impressing upon us the importance of justice. Nada'ul mawazin al-qist. Right. There'll be a discussion now that mizan or mawazin, mizan ka jama hai ya mawzoon ka jama hai, right? Most would say that ye mizan ka jama hai, mawzoon ka jama nahi hai, right? And then there'll be a discussion again that mizan mutaaddad honge ya ek hi mizan hoga. Most would say mizan ek hi hoga. Then the question will come up again that why the jama siga has been used and not the mufrad siga. And then to show now the machine or the mizan, how swift it will be. Showing ta'addud ashkhas or ta'addud amal, and in moments the mizan is just complete. Things are whistle. Billions of people all assembling there, and it's just showing them where you stand. You stand on the right side or the wrong side, where you stand. Again, there's a discussion that the amal will be weighed of the Muslims only, or the Muslims and the kafir, and then the rule of no, it will be weighed for all. أَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّ مُهَاوِيَةٍ. But now that's the ilmi discussion. But now the lesson that we learn, that why Imam Bukhari sahab, what was amongst the other reasons why did he bring this hadith, that will erect the balance on the day of Qiyamah. So he's impressing upon us the importance of balance and justice throughout our life. And then I began to look at the different verses of Quran Sharif and how Allah Ta'ala impresses the importance of seeing to that everything is balanced. See, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ أَلَّا تَتْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُفْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ. Don't you see that? Right. Again you see, Allah says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِي بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. Right. So just to get the mizan right, Allah Ta'ala sent down four structures. So now we learn the academic thing now, which is now it's a great achievement. Lekin yahan par seekhne ki kya cheez hai? What's the lesson to be taken? Academic thing is just by the way, is the career that's coming to us. But what's the material? What's the substance? Did you ever think now what's the substance that is being passed upon us? The substance that is being passed upon us is this act of justice, and do we uphold a justice? So Allah Ta'ala says in this verse here that we have sent four structures just to see that the balance. أَنزَلْنَا لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا. One is Allah Ta'ala sent Rasul. فِي الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Bayyinat can mean miracles, can mean clear dalail, clear proofs, number two. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. And then the kitab, a divine book, right? That was a third structure just to see that justice is maintained. قَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَانْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. And the last thing, وَالْمِيزَان. And again, Labak speaks about the mizan. He sent down the mizan as well. Now mizan, the mizan can be of different levels. We don't have to confine our minds just to a scale, no. Any instrument or any type of thing that is used to see that justice is maintained, right? One is the instrument that we see, alright, how many kilos this thing weighs. So our mind is not supposed to be confined just to that, right? Sometimes it's balancing the books, right? He's also maintaining some balance. He's auditing the books, right? That's also a mizan, right? And after everything is said and done, hadith says, istafti qalbak. That means your heart also has got a mizan. What was the need for the hadith to say, istafti qalbak? Ask yourself, is it the right thing what I'm doing? Is there contamination of some wrong here? Is there something wrong in this? Or what I'm talking about is right? So, see the structures Allah has sent down just to maintain justice. And then the last structure, and then وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, right? Iron, steel, right? So, as though Allah is saying, then if you're not listening to all these structures, then the strong arm of the law.
that will put you right. Again, look again, the Quran Sharif, how much of emphasis just on this aspect of balance, maintain the balance. يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. Stand out for justice. You see that? So, I don't say the lughat, the nahu, the adab that relates to all this discussion is not important, but this, just to get us to understand it correctly. But what is the substance the Quran Sharif is passing on to us? The substance is, do we maintain justice? Yeah, kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada'a lillah walau ala anfusikum awil walidayni wal aqrabin. Even though it's going against yourself, your parents, your near and dear ones, but stand out for justice. Can you see the emphasis? Again, on the day of Qiyamah, because this ummah will be the most balanced ummah, ja'alnakum ummatan wasata. They made you the most balanced. So you will be the crown witness on the day of Qiyamah, when the ummatis will reject the Anbiya alayhi salam, and you will be ushered in, and your witnessing will be the decision on the day of Qiyamah. Can you see that? That means in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, we are termed ummatan wasata, a very balanced ummat. The balance, because we are not like the Christians, that we elevate the Nabi to uluhiyat, to godhood. Don't do that. And nor do we take and adopt the path of the Jews, yaqtuluna al-anbiya'a bighayri haqq, that they could kill 43 anbiya on a single day. So we don't go in this extreme or that extreme. Yes, we will say that Rasulullah is the highest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the highest. There's nothing, no creation that is as high as him, right? But we will not elevate him to God. We will not do that. So, the balance. Balance in all things. And do we maintain this balance at all times or not? Right? That was the fourth point that I should discuss. Then, in this aspect of justice, right? Because Imam Sahib is ending up his kitab with justice. So, the importance of justice. So justice will require, if I know something, then I will do it, provided I am absolutely certain about it. There's no iota of doubt. If there's an iota of doubt, then I will not take a chance. I won't speculate. I won't say, no, I think it is like this, and maybe it is like this, and it should be like this. I won't do that. I will be thorough in whatever I'm doing. You don't take a chance. Deen is not something that you invent and you take out from your pocket. You are thorough in what you're doing. You don't know it, I don't know it, let me refer to someone. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, to find an occasion where someone spoke of an ayat. He says, if you know about it, you saw about it, you speak about it, otherwise, refer to someone to remain silent. And then he says, Ma ana min al mutakallifin, I don't pretend to know what I don't know. I don't know it, I don't know it. End of the story. This problem comes about when everybody feels I can give my two cents. I can give my two cents. Then, there's no sense after that. Everybody is going to what? Till koi akal baki reh jati. Kuch nahi. Some days ago, one doctor came up to me. You know, the confusion that comes about. How it starts off, where it starts off from. Right? You are, this kitab here that Imam Bukhari is ending up, Kitab al-Tawheed, and in some nuskhas, Kitab al-Tawheed, وَالْرَدُّ عَلَى الْجَهْمِيَةِ. Some of you all may be aware, right? Kitab al-Tawheed, وَالْرَدُّ عَلَى الْجَهْمِيَةِ, right? So, this aslaf, whatever they are doing, then there is a lesson for us. There is a lesson for us in whatever they are doing. So, what do we learn here? That in the day of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi, there were these deviant groups, and he had to speak out against them. But he spoke out against them by name. سَتَفْتَرِكُ أُمَّتِي عَلَىٰ سَلَاسَةٍ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةً كُلُّمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدٍ. So he spoke about it by name. And he said, this ummah will be split in 73 groups, all of them Jahannamis, except one. And obviously, ma'ana alayhi wa ashabi, that ummah will be the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'at. But I ask you, if Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi had adopted the style of today, you know, that everybody is good, let's learn to live together, forget the differences. I say that could we have an undiluted, pure form of Islam today? We have never had, could never imagine of an undiluted, pure form of Islam. Because in this age as we are now, as we are standing, there are groups that are saying, what's wrong in free mixing? Mixing are free. There are ulama also that are saying this. And again, apart from free mixing, they are saying, celebrate Christmas, right? Now, some may say, rebuking or inciting the ulama kiram. So Allah Pak speaks about this in the Quran Sharif. Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, he comes up to Rasul Pak and he says that the Quran Sharif says, ittakhadu ahbarahum wa ruhbanahum arbaba min dunillah, that you have taken your priests and your monks as gods. But we don't take them as gods. Why does the Quran Sharif say that we take them as gods, whereas we don't worship them? So Rasulullah explained Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, isn't it the case that your priests and your monks, in our simple terms, I say, are halalizing something and opposite of it, haramizing something that is not in keeping with the text of the gospel? What is the text? And they are halalizing indiscriminately, being unscrupulous. Are they doing it or not? Said, yes. So this is what is called ittakhadu ahbarahum wa ruhbanahum arbaban min dunillah. The right to halal, to make halal and haram, was the right exclusive to Allah Ta'ala. And this right has been passed on to your priests. So you have made them gods. So what the Quran says is addressing us, that you don't take these people as gods. Yes, they are conforming to the Quran in the clear text of the Hadith. You'll follow them, otherwise you brush them aside. If they're going, they're deviated from the clear text of the Quran and the Hadith now, group saying free mixing. So then, where does the ayat of the Quran feature? إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. Where does that ayat feature? There's no mahmal for the ayat thereafter. And then, one step beyond that, what's wrong in celebrating Christmas? Celebrate Christmas. They're saying it openly. Celebrate Christmas. So then what do you do with the ayat of the Quran? La takunu kalladina kafir. Don't be like the kafir. And to me it seems, whoever is saying this word here, is suffering from a complex. Because that person, did he ever say to the Christians, you must celebrate Eid? But very conveniently, he will say the Muslim that you celebrate Christmas. But did he ever ask the non-Muslim, celebrate Eid? So why? That means he's something superior, we need to recognize him, and we something inferior, and we can't give our product to him. That's what it means. So that person, whoever is saying this word, is suffering from a complex. Then it doesn't end here. Right? Then it takes about 15 or 18 girls into a church, right, to see what's the operation of a church. I ask you, if one of those Muslim girls, if any of them was impressed with the programs of the church, right, the sermon, etc., and her mind turned, right, who's going to be responsible? Parents are going to be responsible. Whoever took them is all man sanna sunnatan hasanatan fil Islam, or man sanna sunnatan sayyatan fil Islam. Understand that? So who's going to be responsible for this? Now this is happening in front of us. Then again, he has the heart to say, this is Quran as revealed, revised Quran Sharif, in the whole different sequence. One of the sequence that came from the time of Rasulullah SAW till now, and now that whole sequence has been changed, bringing the Meccan surahs first, and thereafter whatever else, and the whole sequence of the Quran Sharif is being changed. And we say, no, we must learn to live with others, learn to live. So if that was the case, that means Imam Bukhari Sahib didn't know what he was doing. Why did he make a rebuttal and a refutation against the Jamia? Why did he? That was the reason. And he he spoke about them with name, the Jahmiyyah, right? This whole kitab is ending with that. You start off Iman, and then as you're progressing, there are going to be a lot of challenges, and you have to weed them out. But how are you going to weed them out? Until you don't recognize the weed, what are you going to weed out? You need to recognize, he's making you recognize the weed here. Get it out, and then you'll be sure, you'll be right. Then, again, he's speaking out against the two firqas that were in vogue from the time of Ali, the Khawarij, as well as the Rawafid, right? The Rawafid went on to one end, extreme end, and they said, إِنَّ لِأَئِمَّتِنَا مَنْزِلَةً لَا يَبْلُغُهُ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلٌ. That our Imams, that means the descendants of Ali radiallahu anhu, they are such a high ranking that they higher than the Anbiya alayhi salam. لَا يَبْلُغُهُ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلٌ. That they got the right.
Mark is a car blocking KF45FXGP. It's a silver X-rail. KF45FXGP. It's parked here on Azad Avenue. It's blocking the entrance to the parking. No cars are able to park here, so the brother is please requested to remove that car. Jazak.
Then you get the Khawarij. And the Khawarij, they went on to a different level. They said a murtakib kabira is out of Islam, of course. Whereas shafa'ati li ahli al-kabairi min ummati. Going against the hadith completely. So this was the second group that came up, and the Ahl al-Sunnah had to make a proper refutal, a proper rebuttal against them. So not many days after that, then came the Mu'tazilis. And Hasan Basri rahmatullah had to make a clear announcement. So this Wasil ibn Ata i'tazala anna. By name, he had to say that he's no more belonging to us. He's moved away from us. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, and when there was a question of istiwa, then he answered the person. He said, al istiwa'u ma'alumun, wal kayf majhulun, wal imanu alayhi wajibun, wal su'alu anhu bid'atun. أخرجوا هذا المبتدع عن المجلس. If you say, oh, he's being intolerant, then this intolerance came from Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. We are following our imams, our elders, and then this is interpreted as being intolerant. But where did it start from? It started from this. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and he hears some person had some Qadriya beliefs, rejecting Taqdeer. He said, I got nothing to do with them, and they got nothing to do with me. They mustn't meet me, I'm not going to meet them. Straight. Came to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi. And now, how careful were they to preserve Islam in its pristine, in its undiluted version? Right? We hear often in our dars, Dawud Zahiri, right? This is the fall of Dawud, moving on to Zahir. He's an Imam, no doubt about it. But he said one statement that could have created confusion in the minds of people. And because it's creating confusion, Imam Ahmad Rahman ruled, don't say this. Don't say this word. That lafzi bil Qur'ani makhlukun. Don't say this word. Although technically you can't prove, disprove it, right? But Imam Ahmad, just to protect the iman of people, said, don't say this word. Lafzi bil Qur'ani makhlukun. Therefore, Imam Bukhari also is very, very careful when he uses this word. He says, "Aqwaluna, a'amaluna, wa a'amaluna makhlukun." And again, he says, when he's asked about iman, he says, "Kalamullah hiya sifatullah, wa sifatullahi ghayru makhlukin." Right? Afdalu ashabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam Abu Bakr, thumma Umar, summa Usman, summa Ali radiallahu anhu, alayhi a'ishu wa alayhi amut. So he's refuted all the Shias and who's slandering Sahaba Kiram, but openly and clearly. Right? So when Imam Ahmad Rahman, his zamana, and Dawud Zahiri is an Imam, is a great Ali, right? But he's made a statement that could create confusions in the minds of people. So, Dawud Zahiri comes to meet Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, and Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi says, I don't want to meet him, go. And again he curses him, Dawud, Dawadallahu qalbam. May Allah Ta'ala fill his stomach with worms. And he was a maqbool, mustajabud dawad. And you see from that day, his condition just deteriorated, problems in the abdomen, and that led to his death. But they were clear about it. And I say, if these people mince their words, going in circles, not being so clear, then after 1,000 years, what version of Islam we would have today? It would have been a total mess up, a whole dilution. So now, we spoke about the Khawarij, the Rawafid, the Mu'tazili, right? Then, we had a group called the Qadriya and the Jabriya. Qadriya rejected Taqdeer, and Jabriya said, now we force, Majboor and Mahaj, Lo Sha Allahu Ma Ashrakna Wala Abauna. But then the group that is resembling the style today is the Murjiya. Because the Murjiya says that after Iman, you can do anything, whatever you want. It's an open license. It doesn't affect your Iman if you do any wrong. Any wrong you do, it will not interrupt your Iman in any way. So, the line that this Zamana has taken is the line of permissiveness. One person says, no, take the positive. This is not positive. You go on a permissive line, you are mixing the word permissive with positive. Positive is something else, and permissive is something else. Going to a church is alright, celebrate Christmas is right, mixing up things is right, changing the order of the Quran, everything is right. So then what's left in Islam then? Everything is right, then what's left is Islam. See? So we need to understand now, where is this ummah going? Where is this ummah going? I'll just read one story, you know, my time is up already. One doctor friend of mine, about 2-3 months ago, he came up to me and he says, you know, me and my wife, we went to a walima family, and as we entered, we saw there was something wrong, photography and seating was not right, mixing up. So she phoned me and we left. After 2-3 months, there was another sitting, another walima, so we had to attend family. So she went to the women's section, I went on this side. Then, some way through the walima, there was some nazam background, it's music, like how you're getting this synthetic music and all that. So all that was carrying on. Again, we phoned each other and we moved away. Both are professional people, the doctor and his wife, so they moved away. So wife is suggesting to the husband, in future we shouldn't be going because of what's going on. There's no system, right? No proper system. We won't go, but allow me to go so that we maintain the family ties. Right? So now the husband is confused. The husband said to the wife, let's refer to Mufti Sahib what has he to say, right? We say now that, you know, there's a need to maintain families. And number two, there's a problem going on here now. What do we do? How do we reconcile? So I have to illustrate through an example. See, people don't learn usul. They don't understand usul. But illustrations they understand, they can recognize. Explain to him, see, there were 10 brothers that came from India and they were doing business very well. You know, and they're all working combined for the same business. Now, 9 brothers said, you know what, that we're working for this business and we're making good money. A lot of good money you're making, but let's expedite the whole thing. So, how much we expedite it? Expedite it in this manner, that we're going to drugs, you know, rock cocaine and whatever drugs that we sell, and overnight we'll really make money, right? Overnight. So the one brother says, no, I don't want to do this thing here. I'll go on the original way. The original way you do halal, correct business. I don't want to go into this thing here. Now I ask you, who's broke the unity? The 9 brothers or this one person? Who's broken? What will you say? The 9 have broken the unity. Now, chor masoom ko kehta hai ke tum chori mat karo. Is it making sense? The one that's breaking the law, he's saying, no, you must maintain. Is it right? I think my time is up now. Now I get off Sufi. They asked me to make the dua as well. So now it's past the time to make a very short dua, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi ashabi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.